B-Pod Studios.
It's a new day. Yes, it is. What's going on, y'all? This is WWE superstar Kofi Kingston, and you are listening to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with James Stewart and Mike Riley, baby!
Mike Riley, a lot of items to discuss this week, kind of a poo-poo platter, if you will, of wrestling items, but let's start with the big story. And it seems like CM Punk and or Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan in WWE terms, are going to All Elite Wrestling. These rumors have been persistent. It seems like we actually have some real reporting. We'll start with CM Punk. On July 21st, Sean Ross, Sap of Fightful.com, tweeted, CM Punk has been in talks for a potential return to the ring. Fightful Select has learned, unquote. So it had a link to a Patreon paywall that I wasn't paying for. With all due respect to Sean, I'm not paying for his content. I'll go through my back channels, and I did. So I texted a friend of mine who is friends with CM Punk, and I asked if the report was legit. He said yes. I asked if it was AEW. He said yes. So we all believe that CM Punk is going to work with All Elite Wrestling. But I'm at the point, Mike, where I actually want to see it. And I want to see CM Punk appear on a live All Elite Wrestling TV show. Dynamite, Rampage, a pay-per-view. I want to see CM Punk physically on my television screen for a wrestling company. Until I see that, even though I have my own personal confirmation of Fightful's report, I kind of want to see it. Mike, what do you think?
Well, yeah, a few things to unpack there with the Sean Ross report, because he does have some credible reporting in the past there. And yes, I am a proud Patreon subscriber to his work. I like to see what, I chimed in over the last couple of months just to see what he has. And you know what? He's been, to his credit, this is not a chapstick moment here for Sean Ross, but he's a credible reporter. So I thought this is a real big situation from your sources talking about CM Punk getting the talks there with AEW. I'm not surprised. However, what I am most surprised about, Jimmy, that it's actually taken this long for CM Punk to appear in AEW. You know, they have been in Chicago numerous times now, and that's CM Punk's hometown, as we know. I think AEW, of course, Jacksonville is their home base, but I think Chicago, they treat that like WWE treats Madison Square Garden as the big show right there. And the fact that he has not appeared yet at one of their shows in Chicago, that's where I'm most surprised by taking this long here. So for CM Punk to have the news of their coming to AEW, when indeed it does happen, I still will hold the belief of myself. I will believe it when I see it, because we've heard the rumors and rumbling so many times. When it actually happens, it'll happen.
Hey, I was in Chicago in 2019 when he did StarCast, he being CM Punk.
Right.
And we all thought that CM Punk was going to appear at that show.
Yep.
And what a splash that would have been.
That's
he
right.
Didn't, and he told people at StarCast, because he did a live event with Mike Johnson of Pro Wrestling of PWInsider.com. Love that subscriber there.
Yep.
Mike Johnson might be the best journalist in pro wrestling.
He is. He's good.
So CM Punk on that stage was like, nope, I'm leaving here. I'm going home. Yep. And he didn't. He stayed at the hotel, and he was at the He was at the StarCast post AEW pay-per-view party. He was socializing with people there. You could just go up to him and talk to him. And, you know, I talked hockey with him. Now, that's
awesome.
That's what I did.
And because
I also horror movies and hockey. He's got all the time in the world for you. And he's a Cubs fan. He's a little more low key on the Cubs thing. But when you get him talking about other stuff, very open, very conversational. Yeah. But as it pertains to this, CM Punk turns 43 years old in late October. He has a rabid fan base. Punk left WWE in 2014, in January of 2014, and his only reported in-ring appearance since then came under a mask in 2019 on an independent show, we think. because of course he was a masked man. Punk did some UFC work. He lost his two fights, or I think he lost his first one and won on a technical disqualification on his second one. I don't know. He looked better in his second fight. He did some work for Fox Television, for FS1's WWE TV show, StarCast, which I mentioned. And so I should be more excited about this. I should be super excited that CM Punk is finally coming back. But I remember him doing an interview about 6-10 months ago. And I want to say it was with Robbie Fox and Jerry Carabas of Barstool Sports. My Mom's Basement, I think, is what Robbie's podcast is.
Yep.
And Punk said at the time, if he ever went to AEW, he'd want to work with new wrestlers. Wrestlers he hadn't worked with before. So no Jericho, no Moxley, no Cody. And he said he wasn't sure if he'd be able to keep up with Kenny Omega. And I remember thinking at the time, well, that kind of blows. That's kind of not what I'm looking for. Like, I'm looking for CM Punk, Kenny Omega. CM Punk versus John Moxley as opposed to Dean Ambrose. CM Punk and Jericho always have magic. I still think that their WrestleMania match in Miami is one of the best championship fights in WrestleMania history, but it was overshadowed by Hell in a Cell. It was overshadowed by Daniel Bryan being beaten in 18 seconds. It was overshadowed by The Rock and John Cena and The Rock winning that match. Just so many other things happened on that show. So my hope is that they still go through with those matches. But if you look at how other people have been booked, like Matt Hardy started out hot and now he's kind of settled into an underneath role, trying to get more eyes on different people. Christian Cage, the same. They just brought Chavo Guerrero in to be a mouthpiece for Andrade. So AEW is bringing in all these new toys. So how are they going to use them? And one other thing here is in the aftermath of Punk being fired from WWE, because he was fired, he did the Colt Cabana podcast and said maybe his next match in pro wrestling is against the Young Bucks. He said something along the lines of maybe I'll go to PWG, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and wrestle the Young Bucks, which he's been friendly with. Which leads me to wonder if Punk and Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan to WWE people, come in as a team and are programmed with the Young Bucks before Punk and Bryan go their separate ways, like that could be a good thing. That could be their introduction. Maybe they even dethrone the Young Bucks, because the Young Bucks on Twitter joked about just making sure that any new talents who come into the company, they can take their finishers okay, which is playing into it. And but Punk and Danielson against the Young Bucks, I'm into that. And then you let Punk and Bryan do their thing as tag team, and then they go their separate ways. But they have now dethroned the Young Bucks, and maybe that next tag team that comes up, Santana and Ortiz are due for a tag team title run. Maybe FTR can get it back. There's options here. And I think that's the important thing, is that there are options for CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, which we'll talk to in a minute. So what do you think about how AEW kind of should use CM Punk going forward?
So, yeah, and you got me thinking there now with the tag team situation, because I had put no thought into that with those two, Daniel Bryan and CM Punk being a tag team there and going after the Young Bucks. That would be a really dream match, I think, for anyone. However, though, I think the best scenario, and probably what it will end up being if they are both to appear on AEW at some point, would just be individual debuts, and they would go the single star route. Now, the other thing, too, I think you may have to actually not have it as a surprise, i.e. Sting, his debut, because it sounded like TNT wasn't too pleased with the no notification of Sting being on a show. I just look at the fact that Turner Broadcasting would probably want some sort of promotion here. And then, of course, you're going to sell out every show pretty much, but that'll be a guaranteed sellout when you do know that CM Punk would be at that particular event. So I think you'd have a formal notification that he would be in AEW at some point, when and where exactly, for formal details as to when his debut would take place. The other thing, though, to think about here with CM Punk, I had to think about this. Now, we know CM Punk. You know, we've been following CM Punk for since he left 2014 after the Royal Rumble. He has not been in there, as you mentioned.
Mike, I'll be more specific. I've been following CM Punk since around 03 when I saw him in Ring of Honor with a story with Raven.
Okay, but I'm saying no.
I watched him at the friggin' Armory in Cambridge.
That's okay. So hardcore fan right here. However, this is what I have to ask the question here, Jimmy, and it makes me think, will CM Punk move the needle?
Yes.
Hold on. For ratings, for people that may tune in just once or twice a year?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Yeah, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Well, I was just the only reason I had to ask that, like, he's not Hulk Hogan. He's not The Rock or Stone Cold Steve Austin. However, he was part of that era in the second part of the decade, or the first part of the 2010s, rather, for a few years stretch there. He had some good fights with John Cena, right? But I think that there's enough of a hardcore base and wrestling base in general that knows CM Punk, the story on it, and I still think that that will be a draw for wherever he goes.
Yeah, so CM Punk's last WWE appearance was 2014, and there's been this buzz around him. I think the real money in CM Punk was going back to WWE, doing the match with Hunter, getting his WrestleMania main event, even though since then he's been like, yeah, I know, I was the main event with the Undertaker match, but you know, I count that now. Or CM Punk says he counts that now. But when CM Punk did the pipe bomb promo, and he waved to Ring of Honor, and he waved to Colt Cabana, and he called Vince and Hunter doofuses, and I think he actually used the DB term, which I could probably use because it's a podcast, but it's in our handbook that we can't actually use it, but everybody else uses it. I'm not going to use it.
No, let's play fair.
But what that promo on that Raw episode to end Raw did was it sparked people to tune into the product because his contract was actually expiring. It was actually 2 days before that Chicago pay-per-view where he beat John Cena at Money in the Bank. So they had to sign an extension, and CM Punk is on the record saying the only reason why I signed the extension is because they put me in the title fight.
Mm-hmm.
So there was reality to the story. So you have a disgruntled employee who's venting, and it's legitimate that he can walk out of the company on his last night, and it's in his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that's so fascinating. So after that pipe bomb dropped, he did the Bill Simmons podcast, which was terrible because Bill Simmons wasn't prepared as he should be for as deep a wrestling fan as he thinks he is. And he's doing all this mainstream stuff because he had a reality-based promo. So then you build there, and it was the week before Chicago, and it was a Raw in Boston, and CM Punk and Vince McMahon did a live commentary.
Right. Yep.
They did a live in-ring contract negotiation.
Right. Yep. Yep.
So And that was some great TV because it's CM Punk has a live microphone and he can just taunt the boss.
There was the ice cream bar
part of, and then he has the story with Triple H and Kevin Nash.
Yep.
And there it's Phil versus Paul. So there's a wrestling is at its best, Mike, when there's reality based into it. So
absolutely.
Punk is going on this run, this build, and he finally gets the championship back. Mm-hmm. At Survivor Series, he should have never dropped that title. Have him walk out for 5-6 months, whatever it was. But CM Punk never signed his contract until like 6-7 o'clock Chicago time. Like the show hit the air, and he still hasn't have a contract. And then, you know, he signs the contract, he gets the title, he does the tweet at midnight, where he's got the belt in the refrigerator. So that all adds to the aura of CM Punk. I still think, even with as rabid a fan base, and I watched it because his meet and greet, he did two meet and greets in Chicago, one at 9 a.m. and one at 3 p.m. And line was through the hotel room.
That's
right?
Amazing. Yeah, he's got a following.
Tremendous line, Chicago, all these AEW people. He took as much time as you wanted. No rush. Mm-hmm. Great. So I'm a CM Punk fan, and I know he's treated some people horribly.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He's always treated me very well when I met him in 03, 04, 05 in Ring of Honor. And when I last saw him in Chicago in 2019, he wouldn't be able to pick me out on a milk carton or a roadmap. But I know that no matter what the situation, he's always been super polite with me.
And that's what I like to hear. And that's a good thing for people to hear.
Yeah, he was on Toucher and Rich when he was the champion.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I'm in the DVD.
That's right. Yeah, 2014.
I'm in the Best in the World DVD.
The 2013 one. Yeah. And you know, again, it just would make perfect sense. And I think that's the other thing, too. If he is going to go the singles route in AEW, Jimmy, you got to make him a babyface. You have to.
Oh, yeah. He starts out with cheers.
Yeah.
And then you turn him.
And exactly. Starts out with cheers, get everyone all on board. And then maybe with the dream scenario of Daniel Bryan going to AEW too, for Tony Khan to sign both of these guys, those two could feud very easily too.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
So, Bryan Danielson may be signing with AEW. We think he is. Cassidy Haynes of bodyslam.net claims that Danielson is locked in. And I think I saw Sean. Sean Ross quote tweet his report and say that Cassidy Haynes has gotten some of these things right.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, I'm not one to doubt somebody's sourcing or information. Like, trust me,
right.
I've got some rights. I've got some wrongs. I got
Sasha
Banks return at Money in the Bank wrong, but I got Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair right main eventing night one of WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's
so
exactly.
It's hit or miss with this information, right?
50-50, everyone. Yeah.
You're only as good as your information, right?
It's just true. But
so Daniel Bryan might be with AEW. I think he is. I don't know that. I haven't even independently asked that. But Daniel Bryan, he, I think, longer term has more value than Punk does. Because Punk worked for 2 UFC fights. Bryan Danielson just got off of SmackDown. He just got off of a main event with Roman Reigns. So I think at 40 years old, Bryan Danielson has a little bit more to give to the wrestling world, at least in the ring. Now, if he's going to have a weird schedule, I can't tell you that. But I think it's pretty amazing that AEW is going to get both of these guys.
Absolutely. And you talk about Daniel Bryan there with his run against Roman Reigns right there. But Daniel Bryan, the other thing too for him, Jimmy, he's kind of the type that goes by the, you know, what his way, not his way or the highway, but he likes to do things his way, I guess you could say. As we know, when he was in WWE, he wanted to do work in Japan, and WWE said no to that there. We know that his wife is going to be forever a part of the WWE family, and his father-in-law now too, John Laurinaitis. So the fact that he's going to make that jump there in the scenario of him going to AEW, you know, the loyalty, I guess you could say, he's had his WrestleMania moment. He's been at the top. Daniel Bryan is one of the most, I would say, underappreciated wrestlers of all time. And he's just like coming back from the concussion and so forth and career ending situation to have a run against the top dog, Roman Reigns right there too, this year. That's really fantastic. But Bryan right here, I mean, that would be a slam dunk for Tony Khan to get both of these guys. Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, imagine that happening within the year. Now, the other thing on that report, I believe, was that it would you may see Daniel Bryan debut at Arthur Ashe Stadium when AEW was in New York City. So that's another big draw right there. New York City backyard WWE, but you're in Arthur Ashe Stadium, home of the U.S. Open. How cool is that?
And that show's already sold out, or pretty close to sold out. So that's the buzz around AEW. The BU show in Boston is now sold out officially. And that they had to add extra seats that are kind of obstructed from the stage because tickets went like that. So, well, but as far as Brian goes, he is one of the best wrestlers in the world. And there's an argument to be made that in the last 15 years, he's the best. I'm not going to make that argument, but there's an argument to be made. Think about this. Brian dominated the indie circuit, got to WWE, got fired, got rehired, won the world title in the main event of WrestleMania 30, was medically disqualified, came back, and then main evented WrestleMania 37. That to me, and that's a very quick synopsis, that to me is a quite amazing run.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And yeah, again, career ending. That's the underlying fact right here, folks. He shouldn't have been in the ring. People walk away and never, ever get back to where Daniel Bryan was. Lucky to even step into a ring, and he was able to do that and have the success that he did right there, a draw, a fan favorite, and good as a heel, too, for that matter, with Kofi Kingston, that rival he had going into WrestleMania 35. He's a versatile kind of guy. He is well-established all around, and it would be an unbelievable signing for AEW to get Daniel Bryan. And that also, you know, if you are able to get Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, I mean, listen, I know WWE is now out of the Thunderdome. They're back to live audiences. AEW may overtake WWE programming in terms of ratings.
Well, they're million now for Wednesday nights.
Consistently.
They're consistently over a million now.
Consistently for Raw and SmackDown. They would kill them.
Oh, I don't kill them as strong. Let's see them get to 2 million, Mike.
Yeah.
And then we can have the conversation.
All right, I won't overhype it anymore. It would be huge.
No, it's fine. But you have to understand that AEW is still a young company and still growing. Mm-hmm. And WWE is a generationally extended brand.
Yeah.
So, like, your family watched it, my family watched it. You know, it's going to carry through the generations. Mm-hmm. And I think this is going to be part of the answer to my question. Mm-hmm. Why is All Elite Wrestling adding Daniel Bryan and Bryan Danielson and CM Punk? And the answer is because they're available. And because they're continuing to grow and push to get to the next marker to be a long-standing, sustainable pro wrestling company. And I think there's another factor at hand here. I think Chris Jericho is really winding it down.
Oh, yeah.
And so now, if Chris Jericho is your first world champion and your man who's really going to establish, like, I know who Chris Jericho is, CM Punk and Bryan Danielson are two people who can jump into that Chris Jericho spot if need be.
Absolutely. Jericho has been at the forefront of AEW since its inception, coming up 2.5-3 years now, next year at this time. And sure, to pass on the baton to one of these guys who are also well-established like him, it makes perfect sense. The other thing, too, did you see that Tony Khan is going to be making an announcement soon about a new live event? Did you see that?
I saw it. I didn't know specifically it was a live event. I just know that Tony Khan had an announcement. If it's a live event, it's probably another stadium show.
Well, that's what I'm... Or a quarterly pay-per-view. Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe like... I think the ultimate one would be to go head-to-head on a Monday night or a Friday night.
No, 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 no. Too soon. Too soon.
I agree.
And two, they've got this 10 o'clock show Rampage that you're going to be the only one watching.
That's coming in 2 weeks. However, though, what I'm just saying, though, that could be the ultimate thing down the line. But I think it's probably going to be one of those big stadium shows, too. And you have the draw right there with Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, sell out in no time.
Well, and they sold out the tennis stadium.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's tremendous.
In New York City, a great wrestling market. We know that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like headquarters.
It's, Yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
So I do have this concern.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, coming in and pushing others down the card. That is a concern of mine because you have to balance, and AEW has, I think, done a really good job of this. You have to balance keeping your young stars like Jungle Boy's the first to 50. He had a crack at Kenny Omega. So that's good that he can be put in that spot. He's got that main event world title experience, even though he lost. But now people have seen him there. Christian Cage came in with big hype and was paired with Jungle Boy. And so hopefully that Cage rub is helping him. Matt Hardy came in big and now has his own stable and then it's a lower spot.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully there's a good balance there. And that's kind of all that I'm asking is because AEW right now has that good balance of Jericho's in the first actual pay-per-view main event for the world championship, and he's in there with Adam Page. Now, Page lost, and Page right. might be getting the world title in a month
Labor
or
Day
so,
weekend.
6 weeks, right?
Yep.
Labor Day weekend.
Yep.
But we've seen Adam Page in a main event for a championship.
Right.
So we're familiar with that because AEW had to start off with Jericho is the world champion and then defending against Cody. And then it's John Moxley, who was Dean Ambrose. And then it's been more of kind of a mix of Brody Lee and MJF was in there against Moxley for a pay-per-view. And then you had the Kenny Omega switch. Mm-hmm. And so now we're familiar with them in the main event. And we know that they can go.
Yeah, and just to go back to your ultimate question there, like, why can they do it? Yeah, they got the money to spend it. And, you know, Tony Khan, talking in general, passion in pro wrestling and so forth, he appreciates the work CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, and he knows there'll be a draw. And he'll do what's best for the fans ultimately. He will do what's best for the fans, I think.
I think what would impress me more is if, because I assume that Punk asked for the moon financially, and Tony Khan's like, yep, we can do that. Because all these wrestlers are like, yeah, AEW is my best payday and I work the least because they work once a week.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
So Tony Khan backed up the Brinks truck for both of these guys. And it's once a week TV and a pay-per-view every quarter, unless there's more pay-per-views. But these Dynamite shows, they have secondary like headliner like Fighter Fest and Fight for the Fallen and Road Rager and you know and they're doing good stuff. I think AEW the last month plus has been really great. I still think SmackDown is the number one show, but
someone may
AEW on Wednesday has been really good. And the thing that I've always said about AEW is their story continuity has been fabulous.
Yes.
Like you can question the in-ring and they go at too fast a pace and they don't sell, but their continuity among stories, I could probably nitpick here or there, but I'm choosing not to because the nitpicks are so small that they're not even worth it.
Yeah, they've been right at the top of the game. And, you know, you talk about SmackDown, some people saying that's the best show of any professional wrestling one. There are so many, you know, WWE has that tie-in there between the two brands, Raw and SmackDown. AEW just has that one show per week. And that's why the stories, I think, are just so good and just easy to propel that there. And longer storytelling because, have your shot, there you go, because you have quarterly pay-per-views. WWE, you can have a quick turnaround time with the 1 month per pay-per-view there and short-term storytelling. So, AEW, it works great for them, and that's why they have been so successful. Dynamite, the Fyter Fest the last 2 weeks. Yes, the show you thought that was a great banger, the first one back with the crowd. They've been hot. They've ridden that hot hand there. AEW's ratings are working. Everyone is all in on that. And you know what? They're going to ride that hot hand right into Labor Day weekend.
And one of the things that has helped with that continuity is Chris Jericho in the Inner Circle.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't split up the Inner Circle, which I think is good. Like in talking to Kofi, like I don't want to see New Day split up.
Yep.
Like I do not want to see that. You know, MJF was in the Inner Circle and then he turned on the Inner Circle, but the Inner Circle as a start has kept going. And yep. I like that. I like that continuity. And I bring that up to transition to Chris Jericho won his first Labor of Jericho by beating Sean Spears on Wednesday night. His yep. next labor is the hardcore deathmatch king Nick Gage. So this week on AEW, it's Jericho's second labor, and that's the Painmaker, the New Japan Chris Jericho, against Nick Gage in a no DQ match.
Yep.
So I love Jericho's run in New Japan. It wasn't on the deathmatch level, but it pushed the rules of what New Japan Pro Wrestling was, and I think at the time for the better.
Yep.
And Nick Gage, if you don't know who he is, he's the indie deathmatch king, and take the time to Google and watch some of his matches, including his match last night, Saturday night, against Matt Cardona.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if AEW and TNT are going to let them go all the way,
yeah.
but Moxley and Lance Archer did barbed wire. Mm-hmm. And the Young Bucks threw thumbtacks at somebody and super kicked Eddie Kingston in the mouth with thumbtacks, right?
Yep.
So they've pushed some of the limits. And Nick Gage just lost the Game Changer Wrestling Championship to Matt Cardona. And if you haven't seen it, the crowd in Atlantic City, New Jersey was so angry that this WWE reject, and that's the term that's been used on the internet. That's not my term. I like
that. No, it's true though. Yeah.
Came into Nick Gage's home turf and beat him at his own match to the point where they threw trash at the ring. They threw beer cans and there was a pizza cutter that was thrown at the ring due to the title change. And I do appreciate the fact that wrestling fans are still that passionate where you can get that kind of reaction. And the GCW fan is supposed to be the smarter of the fans. They're supposed to be above it because they know what's happening. And to get beer bottles and plastic cups and trash and a pizza cutter, which by the way might be attempted murder, that is tremendous.
Yeah. And Jimmy, you know, we know you love violence. We know you love violence.
Yep, I love violence.
Yeah, and Nick Gage, he has been known as the king of ultra violence, right? So it makes perfect sense right here. I'm very excited to see how this is going to pan out here for Jericho and Gage, for that matter. What is going to happen, rather? It's just easy storytelling on that spectrum right there. And just the fact that, you know, could have the revenge against MJF, that opens up another possibility for another way for those two to get back in the ring at some point, too.
And well, it makes me wonder if Nick Gage actually signed full time with AEW and they haven't announced it yet, because he drops that championship to Matt Cardona. He's got a match with Jericho. He's in an indie feud with John Moxley.
Yeah.
So are we going to see another death match with Moxley and Nick Gage? Like, is that what this is going to build towards long term? And that's why Moxley dropped the IWGP US title. Like, so he's championship free. So now Moxley and Gage can do a death match on a pay-per-view.
Into Lance Archer, right?
Yes. So, Moxley dropped the IWGP US Championship to Lance Archer. Death match, 10 count, choke slam through barbed wire tables.
Yes.
So like this, this brings me back to AEW is not WCW. AEW is ECW with a budget.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I said that from the outset because Tony Khan loved ECW, and this is his version of what he thinks pro wrestling should be. This is ECW with a billionaire's budget.
With a budget, yeah, you're not in your bingo halls,
or maybe I should say without a budget, because he just goes to his dad who owns the football team.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
but in fairness, though, he has turned a profit.
Absolutely.
Tony Khan has turned a profit with this wrestling company. So that is to his credit.
He's got a great television deal, and that was the first step in the right direction right there. You get me thinking there with the ECW thing. Like, I still look at AEW more on the WCW spectrum, but, you know, not every week you're having an ECW hardcore match, but when they are out there, they're so good, and it just gives up that a good build up there to have everyone pay attention to it and just be all in for whatever hardcore match they go for. And when they usually do them, besides having the ring not collapse or whatever at those specific times, they're good. Other than that,
see, Mike, you have fallen into the trap of what the perception of ECW was.
Okay.
Did they do flaming tables? Did they do barbed wire? Did they do barbed wire matches? Did they do and New Jack diving off of scaffolds? Yes, they did all of that. But they had Rob Van Dam against Jerry Lynn. They had the debut of Conan and Rey Mysterio. They had Chris Benoit, Dean Malenko as part of the Shane Douglas's triple threat. Yes, they did Curse as well. You had the Dean Malenko, Eddie Guerrero series. It was the debut of Chris Jericho to a bigger audience. The Eliminators, the greatest tag team of the time. They put Gordy, Terry Bam Bam Gordy, and Steve Dr. Death Williams back together again.
Right.
So they've had all of these. They had a wrestler named the Sandman who came to the ring smoking a cigarette, drinking a beer, and bleeding before the match even began.
I freaking love how you loved ECW. You were all on ECW.
Yep.
No, anytime we go off on a little ECW, you always give people a little history lesson on it. I respect that because I was not an ECW junkie like you. No, sorry, not say junkie. Hardcore like you.
Oh, it was a drug. I needed.
Yeah, I just never. It was late at night. I never got into it.
1 a.m. Channel 27.
Yeah, all the time.
VCR just in case I fell asleep, but I didn't.
Right. Yeah, no. It's just like I learned something new about ECW every time we go off on a little rant like that with you here on that. So keep it going with the encyclopedia and ECW, Jason.
But and I was late to the ECW stuff. Like some of their best stuff with the Dreamer Raven feud was 1995, and I didn't get into 96. My first ECW show that I watched on TV, it was Ultimate Jeopardy, where Sandman pinned Stevie Richards to win Raven's world title. And primetime Brian Lee chokeslams Tommy Dreamer off of four tables off of a scaffolding, which was called the Eagle's Nest.
And how about, okay, for my sake, in 06, 05.
And so I didn't know anything about that, so I had to backtrack, and this is before the internet.
Right.
So I had kind of read about ECW in the After magazines.
Yep. Okay. Yep. And then, you know, 06, 05 with the one night stand when they're at the Manhattan Center there.
It's the show that I should have gone to and I didn't.
So I obviously, yeah, there you go. So you should have, you're right. As a fan, I get it. What you're saying there. But for myself, I just like, I took an appreciation to it after that. I'm like, holy cow, this is what ECW was. This is how good, everyone all in on that. Amazing. But you're right. That's just, it's a real amazing hardcore base, no pun intended. And it's a little bit of what AEW is doing. They have that budget there, like you mentioned, with the style and so forth, but with a little bit of, I'd say, more class than ECW did.
So it's ECW and AEW's parallels are their variety shows, but they're a little bit of a more aggressive variety show. So AEW's had one disqualification in their time of existence. I only remember one disqualification in ECW, and it was when Francine bit the ear of Terry Funk during the Shane Douglas Terry Funk ECW championship match after Barely Legal. And it's the only time that I ever remember there being a DQ in ECW. And it was because Francine bit Terry Funk's ear.
What was
I mean, if there was another one, then go nuts, but it's lax rules. Right. And so this is another thing. And we're going to get to WWE stuff in a second here, but
yeah.
But just let me finish this thought.
Oh, please.
But I think that like I have seen Twitter criticism of Tony Khan and the lack of officiating, enforcing the rules in AEW. And some of it has come from the ECW people who look back on ECW and they're like, yeah, we should have adhered to more rules.
Yeah.
Which I find comical, because it's the old veteran who is looking at the young kid and being like, ah, you shouldn't do it my way.
Yeah.
My way was the wrong way. But at the time I thought it was the right way.
Yeah.
But this is a bigger thing of, if you like the variety show, if you like the guy who does the six flips, if you like the guy who does the thumbtacks, that's for you. That's what pro wrestling is all about. That's what's trying to grab you.
Absolutely.
And that goes to what WWE is trying to do, which is, here comes John Cena back. Here comes Bill Goldberg back. Here comes Edge back. We've got something for everybody. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what it is. And now let's transition to our WWE topics. But before we get specifically to John Cena and Roman Reigns and Edge and Seth Rollins and Nikki Cross, oh, almost a superhero.
All what that a week.
Stuff. Yep. WWE announced that they're going to do a New Year's Day pay-per-view.
Yep.
And it's a Saturday night, and I like the idea of it. I don't know how it'll do, but it's on the network, so who cares? Like, I'll watch it. I had a shot of tequila of New Year's and called it a night at, like, you know.
On New Year's Eve or New Year's Day?
New Year's Eve.
Okay, all right. But New Year's Day, though. New Year's Day. Better not be hungover for this one.
Oh, no. Please. I could have like two drinks and I'd be toast. So.
All right. Okay. Fair enough.
But you put this in our notes.
Yep. Yep.
You have an update potentially on the Royal Rumble.
Potential. Because
Royal Rumble being in Boston specifically.
Yes. So the New Year's Day pay-per-view, it's, as you said, that's going to be a Saturday night. Now, in the past, Jimmy, as we know, the Royal Rumble has been the last Sunday of January, right? With the NFL moving or adding a 17th game, the Super Bowl has now been pushed to Sunday, February 12th or 13th, that weekend right there. That leaves the first weekend of February open between the conference championship and the Super Bowl, traditionally where the Royal Rumble is. WWE would be bananas to put the Royal Rumble up against a conference championship, because as you know now, Jimmy, the NFL is trying to move as much as they can into a primetime window. Conference championship Sunday has been pushed back even further. I think if it's like 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock game now. So you'd have the Royal Rumble going up against the conference championship. The last time they did that was Royal Rumble 2016, where Triple H won to get to Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 32. And the bottom line here, though, this is what I got. The Boston is still on the radar for the Royal Rumble. It could be either that first Sunday of February or the last Saturday night in January. So we're seeing it with SummerSlam. We're looking at the New Year's Day pay-per-view, Jimmy. And if they continue with this track record, you could see the Royal Rumble on a Saturday night, where the last time that happened on a Saturday night, January 1994, at the Providence Civic Center, Saturday Night Royal Rumble. They have not had it.
Great. I'd love a Saturday Night Rumble. So here's a few scheduling things that help this right now.
Yep.
So the Boston Bruins released their schedule this week. Wednesday, January 26th at Colorado. Friday, January 28th at Arizona. Sunday, January 30th at Dallas. The following week is the break for the Olympics.
All right.
So the TD Garden will have no hockey on those two weekends, the last weekend in January and the first weekend in February.
There you go.
So now we have to wait for the Celtics schedule to come out. And if the Celtics don't have games either one of those weekends or one of those weekends, there's your tell that it's in play.
Yep.
And Raw is at the Garden September 13th.
Yep.
We'll know the Celtics schedule before September 13th.
Oh, we'll know it in a couple of weeks. Yeah, absolutely. And the other...
We'll probably know if we're going to that Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably am.
Yep.
We'll know walking into that building if there's a chance that Rumble tickets are going to go on sale that night.
there's a very good chance. Now, the other thing on this that I found interesting.
Unless they do a house show the week of Christmas, which I wouldn't be against, because then we get to see our friend who runs the VIP events.
The best, Billy, the man.
who's awesome.
Great guy. Yeah. The other thing, too. Now, I don't have confirmation of this if it's in the running, but I just want to put it out there that I would not be surprised if New York falls through with Survivor Series. If they don't get it, you could see Boston. Brooklyn. You could see that as a fallback for Boston. I mean, it's in the same geographical area. If they don't get it, I wouldn't be shocked if they try to get it to Boston.
So I wouldn't be shocked, because Boston has held multiple Survivor Series.
Yep.
And I think it's the cheaper of the big four.
Oh, 100%.
Quite frankly.
Yes, it's not. Yeah.
But it's still held by some as like, oh, it's a major Survivor Series. Ha, ha,
yeah, well,
ha.
It's the oldest pay-per-view.
Because people don't know, right?
Yeah, it's the oldest behind WrestleMania.
I mean, the Survivor Series that was here in 2013, the main event was Randy Orton against Big Show.
Come on. Yeah, 2013, 08, and 93. So that's another possibility as well.
Mike, they couldn't fill the front rows for it. They moved me, Scott Isaacs, and Scott Sudikoff up to the front row.
I remember that. And you know what? I chose to stay home that night. I did not want to get tickets. The Patriots playing the Denver Broncos. Huge game. That's when they came back. They took the wind in overtime. And they came back, and they were down like 24-0. That was huge. And I was like, why are they doing this? Going up against – I know it's booked ahead of time. Just stunk. Luck of the draw that the Patriots-Broncos had the Sunday night game. But tough to go up against the NFL.
I think one of us had our phone like in the guardrail. And, you know, kind of had that on while everything else was going on. All right.
Yeah.
Some WWE stuff. Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Mike. Do you have anything else?
No. That was just interesting. All right. So much possibility.
So to summarize, Rumble's still a possibility. Yep. The Bruins have no home games either one of those weekends.
Nothing.
The last weekend of January or the first weekend of February. Yep. So there's still a chance that when we walk into the building for Raw on September 13th, that Rumble tickets could go on sale that night.
Yep.
If the Rumble is indeed in Boston, and Survivor Series might happen if Brooklyn falls through. I don't think Brooklyn's going to fall through, but again,
anything's possible. But hey,
right? I mean, we're still in the midst of a pandemic, so
right.
Whatever's going on there,
and that's where The Rock apparently is going to be returning Survivor Series, right?
Yeah, that's supposedly The Rock is going to start his WWE run at Survivor Series. But again, I will believe it, Mike, when I see it. When I see The Rock or hear The Rock's music. And The Rock actually comes down to the ring, that's when I will believe that The Rock will be, because other than that, it's just speculation.
Right? Absolutely. Yep.
So, Mike, on the WWE side of the pro wrestling world, John Cena is back. John Cena opened both Raw and SmackDown this week. John Cena called Roman Reigns an a-hole and issued a formal challenge to the Universal Champion. Roman Reigns on SmackDown said no to John Cena's SummerSlam challenge, and said it was the same John Cena from 2005, the same everything. Roman Reigns said it was like missionary position, and the head of the table doesn't get excited for missionary position. So, Mike Riley, do you get excited for missionary position? No, I'm sorry.
Well,
I thought this was hilarious. After that, Finn Balor comes out and accepts a Roman Reigns challenge. I assume this is going to be a SmackDown championship match before SummerSlam.
Oh yeah.
Or you're going to get a Cena versus Finn Balor for that championship match opportunity. But what I like about this, Mike, is it's not cut and dry. John Cena versus Roman Reigns. We know we feel strongly that that's going to be the match at WrestleMania, but now it's
SummerSlam.
What story are they at SummerSlam? I'm sorry. So it's what story are John Cena and Roman Reigns going to tell before that? And that's kind of what I'm interested in, is how do we get to that SummerSlam Universal Championship match.
Yeah, maybe you just have something.
So, Mike, chat me up about your missionary. No.
No, I thought that was clever, too, by the writers there, because it's only like some people get it, and I don't know. It was a funny moment there.
It's a PG. It's a PG-ish comment.
Yes, it is. Exactly. They're playing with a little bit of fire, but they got away with it. And, you know, you could do something as simple for Finn Balor You know, having the Usos beat him up there outside while, you know, Roman Reigns having his fun and John Cena comes to the rescue to save him, and or just come out of the ring, come down to the ring after the conclusion of the match, and then Roman will accept the challenge. Simply is that right there. We're four weeks away from five weeks away from SummerSlam. So still plenty of time, but that is going to be your main event. John Cena and Roman Reigns, two big power star names right there, headlining SummerSlam. Easy way to get there after the Finn Balor challenge. And then, of course, him ultimately losing to Roman Reigns for the Universal title. I'll be shocked if he is to win that.
Like the fact that Finn's in an important matchup. He comes back and interrupts Sami Zayn. He has a match with Sami Zayn, which is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's out there in the main event being like, okay, I'm here to do business. Like, I'm here to fight for something. And that's Finn Balor was on Talking Smack and was like, there's a plan. There's always a plan. So he saw an opportunity to go after Roman Reigns and the Universal Championship. He's taking it. So Finn Balor is playing an important role here, at least on TV.
Of course.
And so there's a case to be made that WWE is just feeding all of the internet darlings to Roman Reigns to prove some sort of point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's Finn Balor, it's Cesaro, it's Rey Mysterio, it's Daniel Bryan, it's Kevin Owens. You know, Edge is more their guy than I think any of those guys are. But what I will tell those people who want to make that case is the WWE fans and their universe, they have supported these guys and made these guys players where they belong in that type of spot against Roman Reigns. Now, do they deserve to win? That's debatable. I would say that Kevin Owens deserved to win. I would say that Daniel Bryan deserved to win. I would say that Cesaro did the best that he could. Fabulous matchup. Probably shouldn't have beaten Roman there. Rey Mysterio, the story was simple, and it has now crossed over where you're getting dark matches and house show matches of John Cena and the Mysterios against Roman Reigns and the Usos, the Bloodline. Usos.
Yep.
And that's all that's good stuff, because that's good quality matches right there. And what you've got is Dominic Mysterio learning from some of the best.
Absolutely.
So now Dominic Mysterio has a chance to do something special.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. That is super cool, I think.
I was so high on him last year after that SummerSlam match with Seth Rollins. That was so good.
He's in the ring with Seth Rollins. I mean,
yeah, it's a great match, though. It's awesome.
Yeah, it was. But the thing is like Pat McAfee's in there with Adam Cole.
Yeah.
Dominic Mysterio's in there with Seth Rollins.
Right.
These guys are pros. They're great storytellers in the ring. They're great with matches. That's the good stuff. That's how you get better, is you're positioned in there with somebody better. And Adam Cole and Seth Rollins are elite level performers.
Bad Bunny with The Miz, right?
Bad Bunny with The Miz. And the key for Bad Bunny is, as I told you first, Bad Bunny started training at NXT.
You did. You were on that back in January, right?
He was training there. Mm-hmm. And the information that I had was he was training. He's going to do something at the Rumble, and that might be it. Mm-hmm. No. He was going to have a WrestleMania match.
Yep.
And that's really what he was training for.
Yep.
And he was in there with Morrison, Miz, and Damian Priest. Like, top level performance.
Awesome. Yeah, amazing. So protected like that, and that's a huge step for Dominic Mysterio right there. But we will get John Cena and Roman Reigns at SummerSlam, folks. Don't say it's not going to happen. Don't think it's not going to happen. It's only a matter of time after they get to the Finn Balor situation with Roman Reigns and him with Balor, and then it'll be all Cena, Roman Reigns, straight to SummerSlam in Vegas. So
I have a point on Roman, and I have a point on John Cena here.
And I still hate Roman Saturday
Reigns,
night.
Roman Reigns really doesn't have an equal right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Roman's big matches are really more about Roman Reigns chasing that elite level WWE status. Because what's happening right now is, and whether you realize it or not, Roman Reigns is going to be added to the elite of the elite in WWF, WWE history. By the time his run is over, Bruno Sammartino, Pedro Morales, Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Steve Austin, The Rock, Mick Foley, Triple H, Undertaker, John Cena, Brock Lesnar, Now, you can eliminate names from that elite level list if you want, and I won't argue if you want to take some out.
Mm-hmm.
But Roman Reigns may already be at that level, but a year from now, 2 years from now, he is going to be in the conversation of, is he one of the four best ever?
Yeah, I mean,
is your Mount Rushmore going to be an argument of Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, The Rock, John Cena, Roman Reigns? Because that's how it's trending.
Yeah, I think that's
And I keep it specifically to WWF, WWE, right? If you expand it to pro wrestling, it's Hogan, Flair, and then it's Austin, Rock, Cena, some combination of that. Bruno, if you want to go back even further, like that's
Andre the Giant.
That's the conversation.
Yeah, you can put a lot of those guys in there. The WWE with Roman Reigns, I think for that to be in that top four category in the elite spectrum where they want you to think, and I think that's what Vince McMahon would like you to think too, because he has pushed him so hard. Vince has pushed Roman so hard to get him over like hell, tried, and it didn't work. Then to make him the heel there, and it obviously is working. He was the saved the Thunderdome. It was awesome during that whole time right there in a pandemic situation coming out of it when he had to surrender a WrestleMania match. And then, of course, with the ultimate return at SummerSlam. So he's done everything that's been asked of him there, where Roman Reigns, you beat all these guys there. And now the easy story thing with the Finn Balor situation right here, the first Universal Champion against the current one, just more to his resume to continue to build the ultimate, I guess you could say, powerhouse that Roman Reigns has been since August of 2020. He's been the most important piece in WWE for a year now. And whether you like him or not, you're booing him or whatever, he's the guy that is putting his foot on the gas to keep the car going, because without him, it's just, he's the most interesting story thing in WWE. And it's just, when will Roman lose? That's what we're all going to try to be on the edge of our seat. Will he lose? How will he lose? When? Millions of things right there, and it's grabbed our attention, and it works. So great job, Bruce and Vince, on that.
And Michael Hayes, on John Cena. When John Cena came back, this is a little detail that I thought I noticed, and then I went back and checked it out. I actually went back and watched it. You know, because that's a classic sports radio clutch term, right? So John Cena comes back at Money in the Bank. It's a sports radio crutch. It's go back and watch it. Well, you know what? I actually did. Most people don't. So John Cena comes back at Money in the Bank. He threw up the Too Sweet sign on the entrance ramp into the camera. And I wondered if that was a throwback to something, because it seemed a little bit out of place. His last match in WWE was WrestleMania in the Firefly Funhouse, a loss to The Fiend. And if you don't remember, it's okay. There was a flurry of punches from John Cena to Bray Wyatt on the canvas.
Mm-hmm.
During those punches, there were flashbacks of John Cena's misses or career failures, right? So losing to RVD in the ECW arena, losing to Chicago, or not the ECW arena, but at One Night Stand at
Manhattan
in New York.
Yep.
There was losing to CM Punk in Chicago. But the one that should jump at you is Cena raising the hand of Roman Reigns following Roman Reigns beating Cena in their one big pay-per-view match a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how this might be intertwined with a story. Roman Reigns won the Universal Championship from The Fiend almost a year ago. So is this a clue that Cena and The Fiend are working together? Is it a clue that The Fiend is coming back? Is it an acknowledgement of the last match that John Cena had? And the correlation of the Too Sweet sign? Or am I just overthinking it because WWE hasn't put that much thought into it?
Well, first of all, I hated that Firefly thing. I hated that at WrestleMania 36. I know you liked it. I thought that was, it was the weirdest thing. And however, though, to look back on that and hear all that stuff. There are a lot of signs and so forth. Yeah, that was the too sweet to come out at the Money in the Bank is rather interesting thing. I mean, is it because of the 25-year anniversary of the NWO just a couple of weeks before too, or the week before Money in the Bank, I guess you could say, pay homage to that right there. There's a lot of question marks there, but for the Fiend, when you bring him into the equation there, could be an easy thing to get him back into the stories in general, because where's he been? And he could be the guy to go after Roman Reigns too. Right after that, if John Cena disappears, goes back to Hollywood after SummerSlam, right? Or he's the guy that interferes in the match at SummerSlam and gets Cena, kills him in so many words, right? He was, because John Cena, as we said, was supposed to go for the Fiend before the pandemic in February or March of 2020 and so forth. We all know about that, the Challenger and everything. And finally, the Firefly Funhouse there, where it had to be on video. So maybe he'll actually get his revenge on him in this way here. But I don't know. That makes me think, too, we could see the return of, I will not say Bray Wyatt, but yes, the Fiend. Yes. But I don't know. I don't know. Roman Reigns, I'm going to go for him just winning clean against John Cena here to continue to build up the importance of his character that he's been over the last year. I don't know about the Fiend. I'm going to hold off on that one.
And then I think Seth Rollins would be Roman's next challenger, because I think that there'll absolutely be something with Seth Rollins losing to Edge. Or maybe Edge wins and then Rollins just puts Edge out of commission and we don't see Edge again until Royal Rumble season. I don't know.
Yeah, and you know what? I just always go back to that No Mercy pay-per-view where John Cena was on the post-show talking, and he was just said, remember the comments he made?
He wasn't sure if he had it anymore.
He wasn't sure if he had it anymore, but he also said the company took a step in the right direction, passing the baton on to Roman Reigns in so many words. He is a firm believer in Roman Reigns right there, and he will be glad to put Roman Reigns over. That's the kind of guy John Cena is. We know that. And you just know that to continue to make Roman more of a legendary guy to beat John Cena at SummerSlam, that's a huge deal right there.
There's a whole rant that I could do, and maybe I've done it in the past, about how John Cena has done business. And yeah, it's what's happened after John Cena has done business that has been the creative failure. But that's a story for another day, because I want to fit this in, because I know they're about to kick you out of Gillette Stadium soon. They're going to turn out the lights and turn off your internet. So
tell them where I'm at. There you go.
Mike just finished up his public address duties as a member of the Revolution, media staff, media cartel, your team broadcaster. I don't know. Revolution. You're in the tank for the soccer match.
Stadium announcer and a big win tonight against Montreal. But anyways, do the normal time, like you said.
So I do want to get this in, because I think it's important that I acknowledge Nikki Cross as the Raw Women's Champion. I'm so happy for Nikki Cross. Like, I hate that it was against Charlotte, but I love that it's Nikki Cross, because I'm a huge Nikki Cross fan, as you've heard, on the podcast. So here's what happened. Nikki, almost a superhero. I would think winning the title would make you a superhero, but whatever. Yep. Charlotte Flair was disqualified during her championship defense against Rhea Ripley. Rhea beat her up. Here comes Nikki's music, cash in, cross body block. Nikki Cross, Nikki almost a superhero, the new Raw Women's Champion. And I think it happened for this reason, Mike. Mm-hmm. One, Nikki deserves it. And Nikki is proof that anything that WWE gave her, she went out there and executed it to the best of her ability and then some. Like, she really believed in everything that she was doing. And because of that, Vince McMahon, Bruce Pritchard, Michael Hayes, the creative staff rewarded her and made her win and had her win the Money in the Bank and cash in on Charlotte and become the Raw Women's Champion. I think the reason why it wasn't done the same night is, so far, WWE has had 4 live TV shows, 3 of which have sent the TV crowd off the air happy with questions and a reason to tune into the next TV show. So SmackDown, I believe Seth Rollins won and they went off the air with Seth Rollins having the Money in the Bank briefcase in his hand and being like, oh, I'm going to win, right? Mm-hmm. Not a happy ending for most people.
Nope.
Money in the Bank ends with John Cena interrupting Roman Reigns. That's a happy ending. Here's John Cena. He's back. Now what happens on Raw next? Raw closes out with Nikki Cross, Nikki, almost a superhero, winning the Raw Women's Championship from the villain Charlotte Flair.
Yep.
Happy ending. And that's what we're doing now. And then it's what's going to happen next with Nikki as the Raw Women's Champion.
Yep. And it just continues to put her character over. And again, yeah, Jimmy has been very open about Nikki Cross being a fan of hers. And I know, you know, we know your alliance to Charlotte as well, but that was really awesome to have that opportunity. Did you see the bump this week too, Jimmy, with Nikki Cross on there?
I did. Her pure enthusiasm.
Awesome.
Was great. Right?
Yeah, she was just so genuinely happy. Robbie Brookside showed up, a trainer in WWE PC, the Performance Center. She's so close with him. Finn Balor talking about their, you know, acknowledging how hard she worked in Scotland.
Drew McIntyre.
It was amazing. So
Tommaso Ciampa, who rarely tweets about anything these days, and his Instagram is basically his workouts. Tweeted a photo of him with Goldie, the NXT championship, and Nikki Cross kind of giving it a look. And that was his way of saying congratulations to Nikki.
Yep, exactly. And again, for Nikki Cross here to be a Raw Women's Champion, now this new character, the superhero, I like it. I'm in on it. I think it's a good way for her to build up her profile and be, because before, I'm sorry, I didn't buy into her character. I didn't. I'm into her now, and that's what works here for WWE. She just beat Charlotte Flair, damn it, to win the cash in Money in the Bank. New character? That's awesome. Good for Nikki Cross. Ride that hot hand.
I thought Nikki Cross's character was a variation of Mick Foley. Crazy, yep. Liked pain. If you remember, she had a NXT championship match against Shayna Baszler.
Yep. Yep.
She passed out from the sleeper hold with a smile on her face. Mm-hmm. That's an ode to a Mick Foley spot.
Sure.
Yep. And I think that was one of the more prominent moments of, you know, she comes out in her home country against Becky Lynch and is like, okay, Becky, let's play.
Yep, exactly. So,
and because she did everything that they did and she did everything that WWE wanted her to do. This is her reward. This is the happy moment. And this is an example of, If you kind of work with us on things and make it better than our expectations, you can have your moment.
Absolutely.
And she got her moment. I'm thrilled. I don't know how long it's going to last.
Yeah, I got a feeling maybe like
a month. She beat Charlotte on the house shows this weekend.
True.
They did a three-way match with Rhea and Charlotte, and she beat Charlotte.
Well, so, I mean, you know, again, we don't Becky Lynch, her return at some point, too. Maybe that'll be the one to take her down. I don't know. There's so much possibility. But, you know, anyone that is a wrestling fan that has not seen the bump this week with Nikki Cross, definitely encourage them to go watch that interview with her on there, because she was just so happy, so genuine. And she just really, really shows that she cares about putting the best product out there for the fans and doing the best she can as a champion.
So we're over an hour in. They're going to turn off Mike Riley's internet because he's at Gillette Stadium.
Yes.
I've still got 15 more pages of notes from the week of wrestling. I know Goldberg and Lashley had a standoff. I know that there's some questions about Karrion Kross and his booking, and there's going to be Samoa Joe possibly coming out of retirement to have a match with Karrion Kross at TakeOver, which is going to be the Sunday after SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I know that there's a lot of stuff out there. I don't want to lose the internet connection while Mike is still here, even though I can talk to myself forever, but that you'd get annoyed with that, you being the listener, not, you know, but whatever. So we're going to wrap here. We've got plenty more. And this, Mike, this is when wrestling gets good.
Darn right.
When I've got 30 pages of notes and I've still got 15 left to go. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And we're enthusiastic about talking about the good stuff in wrestling.
Exactly.
There have been some shows where, and you can hear it, you can hear the energy in our voices when we're like, we got to talk about this crap.
Right, right. And it's like,
and generally speaking, I don't want to, my philosophy on this show mm-hmm. has evolved from Meltzer's reporting this, Meltzer's doing this, Mike Johnson's yep. doing this, to I'm watching the show. This is what I like, and this is why you should like it. This Absolutely. Is where the story is going. This is what I think they should do. Because I think that's a more interesting and unique podcast than let's go through the entire friggin' lineup of what just happened and let's trash it.
Right.
Why do you watch? Do you like wrestling? Do you want to be a fan? Or do you just want to sit there and hate watch? We only have so much time on this planet. I got better things to do than not invest in something that I hate. And there are things that I don't like. We spent 20 minutes bashing the Rollins, Bray Wyatt, Fiend, Hell in a Cell finish. And it deserved it that night.
Absolutely. That was terrible.
But I like to think that those are the exceptions to the rule for this show. Sure. And I love wrestling. I can't project work ethic or love onto anybody else. But I come in here prepared. Yep. I come in here ready to go and tell you why I like something and why you should like it and where it might be going forward. So there's a little rant right there. But I got more stuff. We're going to have another show next week and we're going to talk about it and we're going to have fun with it.
Bring the fire, bring the passion like we do all the time. Can't wait. And you know what? We are now 3 weeks away from SummerSlam. That's coming up here sooner than later, less than 3 weeks by the time you listen to it. And we have a lot to look forward to, a lot to unpack after Money in the Bank. We have AEW, a show coming up, Labor Day weekend. There's so much wrestling content right now. Sure, it's hard for some people to keep up on it, but pick your favorites. And we appreciate you listening as much as you guys do.
Yeah, big shows, important shows, big matchups. The wrestling companies right now are investing because they have
to. Absolutely.
Because yep. they got to bring people back. So if you're comfortable going, go support your local wrestling. The indies are coming back. There's some local shows in Massachusetts, which you can Google and find on your own time.
Yep.
But the point is that pro wrestling is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to bring us all together.
Yep.
So let it bring us all together. And you can, here's a little clue, right? Most of this content is on demand.
That's right.
So if you don't want to watch Raw live, you can watch it Tuesday morning and mm-hmm. you can skim through it and you can stop on your favorite parts and you can have it become like a sports team.
That's right.
This is my thing. There are wrestlers who are sports teams. They can be villains. They can be good. They can be evil. I will support them because they are my sports team.
I love it.
They are my brand.
Love it.
So that I think if you watch wrestling that way and you don't sit there for 3 hours and hate watch it, you'll become a better fan.
Absolutely.
And maybe you'll have a better interaction and maybe you'll have a better wrestling experience because that's what wrestling has turned into.
Try to have an open mind with it too, right?
Anyway, I got to shut up because they're going to turn your internet off. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.